My mother was born in Atlantic, Iowa. Her mother's name was Melissa Ann Peters. Melissa's father and mother were Jerome Napoleon Peters and Sarah Maria France. The father of Jerome Peters was Christian Peters, who married Susan Motes in 1822. Christian was born in Baden-Baden, Germany. Grandmother Melissa had seven siblings, and they lived in Clayton and Cass County, Iowa. Melissa Peters married Daniel Catlow in Bear Grove Township near Atlantic, Iowa, on March 13, 1884. They lived in Atlantic, Iowa, where my mother was born. My mother had four brothers, all older. People always asked her if she didn't wish she had a sister, and she always said, "No, I just like to have four more brothers like these." What is so funny is that she got her wish when she married my father. He had four brothers, and she loved each and every one as dearly as they loved her. She grew up in Portland, went to Franklin High School, was in school plays, played in the Pirates of Penzance, and was a good student. I have some notebooks that she kept from those days. She also had a large collection of books given to her over the years that she brought to the ranch after marriage. My grandpa, Daniel Catlow, was born in Burnley, Lancashire, England on November 8, 1857. I show that he had four brothers and one sister, all born in England. When they came to America, they settled in Cook County, Illinois, and eventually in Bear Grove Township, Cass County, Iowa. That is where my mother and her four brothers were born. I know that my grandpa Catlow worked at a number of things in Portland, some of which involved interior painting and decorating some of the fine homes in the hills of Portland. He was noted for that work. He also worked on the Crooked River Bridge, a train bridge, along with his sons in later years. I only found this out recently, and here we had driven across that bridge many times on our way to the ranch. My son saw it when they were small, and I expect they will stop there to look down in that deep canyon just before they get to Redmond on the way into Bend. Grandpa Catlow lost his wife on May 4, 1924, in Portland. I have some of her letters to one of her sisters back in Iowa. I also have a pink baby quilt with Mother Goose characters on it that she made for my mother, Pearl, when she was to have a baby at the ranch. She tells about it in one of her letters. I had never known where the quilt came from until I found this letter. I know that she came to the ranch several times to be with my mother, and that my grandpa Catlow would miss her very much. I have letters that relate to that time, too. I always wished that I had known her. She had the sweetest face in her pictures and looked like she would have been a wonderful grandma. My mother's brothers. My mother's brothers were Charles, Frank, Harry, and Wilbur Catlow. Uncle Charlie worked for the Union Pacific Railroad in Portland when I knew him. He was married to Edna Bell, and they had two sons, Albert and Charlie. My Aunt Edna was also the Grand Guardian of Oregon for Job's Daughters and the past Grand Secretary of Job's Daughters at one time. She and Uncle Charlie were very active in the Eastern Star. Their family would come to the ranch each year. Uncle Charlie would fish in the river all day if we let him. Aunt Edna would help my mother with whatever was going on. The boys either played or worked with Claude and did the things that all young fellows do. They were a little older than I was, so I didn't get to run around with them very much. I got in the way. But whenever I went to Portland, I got to stay with them, and they treated me like a queen. They had a lovely old home where my grandpa Catlow lived with them until his death in 1934. My mother and I took a bus to Portland for the funeral. I didn't go to the funeral itself. I can't remember where I stayed during that day. When we got to Portland, I can remember hoping the Easter Bunny could find me. It was Easter weekend, and I was sure he would come to the ranch, and when he couldn't find my basket, he would leave. Well, that was all taken care of by the Portland Easter Bunny. When I awoke on Easter Sunday, here was the whole box of Easter eggs and candies with my name on it. Somehow he knew where I was. I was very impressed and happy. Also, this was the time that my Uncle Charlie and Aunt Edna told me about how they got their milk in Portland. They said that every morning a cow came down the street and a man would just milk the cow right into the bottles that were on the front porch. Well, I was very intrigued to see this cow. I went out to the front porch and sat on an overhanging railing waiting. All of a sudden, I fell off, down into the flowers. The family came and got me and took me back into the house to recover. And as soon as I could, I went back out to wait for the cow. However, while I was inside, that darn cow had come and gone, and I never did get to see her. I was very disappointed. I always wondered why my dad laughed so much at that story. That I brought home from Portland. Uncle Frank was married to Aunt Bertha. He was my funny uncle, always laughing and having a wonderful smile on his face. They had just one daughter, Elizabeth, who passed away in the early 1990s. Uncle Frank was kind of a jack of all trades. I know that he, his father, and brother Harry worked on the Crooked River Gorge Railroad Bridge that is still there just outside Redmond. I have pictures of them from the Redmond area where they would live during the summer and kind of camp out. Sometimes their mother would join them there from Portland. I don't have details as to how long they worked there, but it was quite some time. Uncle Frank could build anything. He also had a cabin at the ocean where he went a great deal of the time. He loved to fish and garden, and we loved having him come to the ranch. I only remember Uncle Harry a little bit. He took me to the zoo in Portland when I was very small, and at the same time, the zoo was not in great shape. He took me to this big building where there were monkeys, which I had never seen before. Then he took me over to a cage and said, "Look at this fellow." It was a blue-faced baboon, and it scared me to death. I thought it was the ugliest thing I had ever seen. I will never, ever forget it. Uncle Harry also took me all around on streetcars, elevators, escalators, and all the things that I had never been on before. We just didn't have anything like that in Bend. They had two children, a boy, William, whom we called Little Bill, and a girl, Alice. I barely remember either of them, really only Bill. He loved to swim at the ranch, and I have pictures of him sitting on the diving board down at the river. I believe he is dead now, and I believe Alice is too. I know nothing of their families. Uncle Wilbur was a soldier during World War I and fought in France. There are stories about those times in some of my mother's papers. He managed to get home after the war, but died a short time later from the after effects of poison gas used in that awful war. He was the youngest of my mother's brothers, and they were very close. I have lots of pictures of them taken in studios, just the two of them, and my mother promised Wilbur that she would never get married until he came home from the war. She kept that promise, although she was asked by a gentleman whom she had known, but she said he couldn't wait until her brother got home, and in later years, my brother saw a picture of him in a movie star magazine from Hollywood, and he had become some kind of a director. She just smiled and told me that she had made the right choice when she married my dad. My Uncle Wilbur was buried with honors in Portland. There are many more things I could tell you about those uncles from Portland. They were all part of the family who came to the ranch every summer and would stay a week or so. I only remember my grandpa Catlow, not my grandmother Melissa, who had died before I was born. My grandpa Catlow was a full-blooded Englishman, born and bred. He had a huge family, and I have all the names and birth dates of that family in my files. He was a wonderful-looking man with a mustache, and I will always remember how he poured his coffee into the saucer and drank it. He also used a cane when I knew him, so he was a little slow getting around. He would come to the ranch at least once a year, and then I would have both my grandfathers to watch and tease. Yes, I would take their canes and hide them. Then they would have to holler for me to come and find them. It was a game I never got tired of. My poor mom got a little unhappy with me, though, I think. My brothers, sister, and me.